thirdly, emotional energy is not available because it's too coarse. The higher thought, intuition, spiritual vision can act only through the higher emotions. And the ordinary positive emotions have therefore to be refined, or if you like, have to be sublimated. Now, how is this to be done? Principally, we may say there are three ways of doing it. First, through faith and devotion. Secondly, through the fine arts. And thirdly, through a combination of these two. By faith and devotion, we mean what is generally called in Buddhism, Shraddha. Usually translated as faith, so it doesn't really mean that. Shraddha comes from a Sanskrit root meaning to place the heart on. And it represents, we may say, our emotional response to higher, that is to say, to spiritual values. Now, Shraddha, faith and devotion, in this sense, occupies, we may say, an important place in all traditional religions. The majority of followers in every religion don't understand, but they have faith, they have devotion. And it's this faith and devotion which gives the different religious traditions their organizational, as distinct from their spiritual, strength. But unfortunately, this faith and devotion is often not acted upon by the higher thinking center, which remains, as it were, inactive. And therefore this popular faith and devotion is not directed by or utilized by any higher spiritual vision or insight. It not only functions under its own steam, as it were, but it decides its own course, its own direction. Not only that, more than that, we may say, it very often happens in such a context, in such a situation, that the emotional center itself tries to do the work of the higher thinking center. So the result is that instead of having knowledge, one has merely belief. And belief eventually, inevitably, hardens into dogma. And the dogma eventually becomes quite irreconcilable with, quite unacceptable to the intellect. And this is what has happened, especially in the case of religion in the West, in Christianity. And this is the reason why modern Western man usually reacts rather strongly against anything that smacks of faith or devotion. Is really reacting against the illegitimate functioning of faith and devotion, really reacting against the usurpation by the emotional center of the functions of the higher thinking center. So it comes about that people may, for instance, take to Buddhism, they may take up the practice of meditation, they may study Buddhism, may consider themselves Buddhists, but this sort of resistance to faith and devotion and everything connected with it continues, often for a very long time. And this brings us to the second way of refining the emotional energies, that is to say, refining them through the fine arts, through the enjoyment of poetry, through the enjoyment of music, especially classical music, painting, and so on. And for many people nowadays, this is the easiest, as well as the most natural and the most enjoyable way of refining the emotional energies. In fact, we may go so far as to say that for many intelligent people nowadays, one or another of the fine arts, whether music or literature, poetry and so on, functions almost as a substitute for religion itself. Lots of people, for instance, wouldn't dream of going to church. If you suggested that, well, they just laugh. But they've no objection to going and hearing, say, a concert performance of a mass by Bach or Mozart. The musical side of it appeals to them, that they respond to, but not to the religious framework, as it were. Finally, the emotional energies can be refined by a combination of faith and devotion and one or more of the fine arts. For instance, there can be a combination of, say, devotion and poetry. And it's this sort of combination that we encounter in the sevenfold puja. The sevenfold puja is so called because it consists of seven distinct articulated parts. Each part represents a certain mood, or if you like, a certain phase or certain aspect of religious experience.